Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Fast track, Mace, you want to give away this Rams gear, right?
Right. In celebration of the NFL draft, we're giving away new Rams gear. Your chance to win right now. We will give you a brand new Rams hat and t-shirt. And by the way, you can purchase your new Rams stuff at ramsfanshop.com. Very easy game. The leading passer in Rams history, most yardage. Any idea, okay, John, who it is?
I have a guess, but I won't wreck it. Carlos.
No, I'm going to give it to you. It's Jim Everett. So the question is, can you give us the number of yards Jim Everett has thrown for without going over?
All right, Carlos from Monrovia. Carlos, how many yards for Jim Everett in his career?
Career yards for Jim Everett without going over.
Yeah. Give me a guess.
Gosh, I'd say 15,000.
15,000.
Okay. Mike, put him on hold, Funch. Mike from Orange. Hey, Mike, how many career passing yards for Jim Everett?
You know what? I'll say, what did he say, 1,500?
He said 15,000.
We need a guess.
Oh, 15,000. Okay, I'll say 11,000.
Okay, 11,000. Andrew from West Covina. Andrew, how many career passing yards for Jim Everett? Andrew, are you there?
Yes. I'm going to go with 1,600.
1,600.
Okay. We'll just cross you out now. Scott from Long Beach. Hey, Scott, how many career passing yards for Jim Everett?
I'm going to go 33,000 yards.
Okay. 33,000, okay.
And then the last one is Paul from Simi Valley. Paul, how many career passing yards?
What was that last guy's bid?
33,000.
I'm going to go 33,001.
Okay. Mace, who wins? What's the actual number?
Correct answer, 23,750.
Carlos on line one, the very first guy.
No, Andrew had. Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Carlos, the very first guy.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Carlos.
All right. You still got him, Funch? Carlos on line one?
I'm here, yep.
Hey, good Carlos, job, congratulations, man.
Thanks, man. That was pure luck.
Yeah, that's it. Well, good. That's how these games are won and lost, and especially considering that you had to go first. You were at a disadvantage, and you ended up winning anyway. Way to go, man.
You know, if I would have gone last, I would have done the same thing with the Price is Right strategy of the last guy, but I'm glad I went first.
Thanks.
All right, man.
I went first. Good job,
congratulations.
Carlos.
Funch will get your info. Appreciate it.
By the way, and what was impressive about that, John? No Googling. Nobody Googled that.
Yeah, I almost thought when you came up with this game, I went, wow, that's a very easy thing to Google. But good for everybody played it on the honor system.
With
good
integrity, exactly. Yeah. All right, John, one side of the coin for Fast Track today. The Chargers wind up with Tua. The other side of the coin, they wind up with Justin Herbert. Call it in the air.
Heads, give me Tua.
Heads, Tua.
Tua.
I think I just went against my own mock draft, but I'll take it.
That's all right. All right,
Fast Track.
All right, guys, because of the virtual draft tonight, the first ever in the NFL, you can make a bunch of prop bets that have never been available before. I brought some of these up a couple weeks ago, but they've been making up new ones. And now here's what we can bet on tonight. If anybody wants, any of the three of you, and I'll put myself on that, so any of the four of us want to bet on these mythical money, you can. Just speak up. All right, the first one. Will the NFL draft be hacked? Yes, plus 800. No, minus 2,500. So the value is in
the hacking.
Well, no, the value is they don't think it'll be hacked.
Right.
You would have to bet that, yeah, somebody's able to hack it. Anybody want to bet the NFL draft will be hacked?
Nah, 2,500 to win. I don't think it will, but 2,500 to win 100 doesn't.
Yeah, that's the no. But you get 8-1 on the yes.
I don't think it's happening. I think they've got this thing locked down.
Okay.
Yeah, they're probably pretty secure.
Okay. Will the Twitter account of a draftee be hacked. The old Laramie Tunzel, somebody hacked into his phone and put him smoking weed in a bong mask. Yes, plus 5,500, so 5.5 to 1. No, minus 1,000. So you'd have to bet 1,000 to win 100 if you think one of these kids is getting hacked. Anybody
is
want
it
that?
Getting hacked or claiming they get hacked?
I think either will fly. It's something embarrassing about one of them coming out, I think, would be the
okay.
the way we renounce
and
that.
What are the odds again?
Plus 550, yes. No, minus 1,000. So the value is in yes. You can make some money if you think one of them will get hacked.
I do think one of them will get hacked.
All right, how much do you want to bet?
What is it, minus?
You 5.5 to 1, basically, plus 550.
Give me a grand on that.
All right, 1,000, you win 5,500 if one of them gets hacked.
Okay.
All right, Lindsay, you got that?
Got it.
Okay, highest number of people in the same room. Over, under, 9.5. If you think we'll see 10 people in one room, you can make some money here. Anybody want it? Or if you think less than 9 or less. I think that's too hard to guess. I'm staying off that one.
Yeah, I'm staying off that one, too. That's tough.
Okay. How many draftees will be seen in a tie? Over, under, 20.5. So remember, there are 32 picks. Will more than 20 of them have on a tie?
I say yes. I say yes also.
I don't think so.
You want to go no, Lindsay, or not touch it?
I'll bet 1,000.
All right, 1,000 on no. Funch, you want in on that? 20.5. All right, Funch is maybe working on other
stuff.
That's
a really high number because...
Saying 21... I'll bet 1,000 on the over. So if 21 of them are wearing ties... Then I win. And,
bet 1,000 on the over.
Okay,
I'm going to bet 5,000.
Even though they're in their
does.
Living room, I think guys want to make a good impression.
I agree. How many draftees?
20.5. You said
20.5. Right.
Okay.
How many draftees will have glasses on? Over under 10.5. I also think. They'll want to look smart, so I'm taking the over 1,000 on at least 11 of the 32 wearing glasses. Anybody else want in on that?
I'm laying off on that one.
Okay. Lindsay, here's one that I think you'll want to bet on. Total dogs shown during the first round. Over under.
I bet on that one already.
Okay. Over under. I can't remember what it was when the last time I brought it up. 3.5.
Yeah, Mason put 5,000 on more than 3.5 dogs.
Okay.
Okay, so 5,000 on more than 3.5. That's a big bet.
I'm going to stay away because I'm going to bet on the next one. Total cats shown during the first round.
Ugh.
Over under 1/2. All I need is one cat. I'm taking
the
over.
Yeah, I bet 5K on that.
Yeah, I'm joining you. I'm betting 5 on that, Lindsay. We only need one cat. We get a cat, that's 5 grand in our pockets. All right.
You can't tell cats what to do. If they want to show up, they're going to show up.
Exactly. Okay, last one. Will pizza be seen in any draftee's home? Yes, minus 300. No, plus 200. So the value is on the no. They think yes will be the answer. But if no pizza's shown, you can get 2 to 1. Anybody want it?
No, not enough. I think there will be pizza, not enough value on it.
I agree with you. Okay, so there's some mythical money. By the way, the draft starts in less than an hour, in 54 minutes, and we'll carry it for you here on ESPN 710. Funch?
Fast Track.
All right, we just had the great Will Ferrell on the show. Impossible question. What are his three greatest movies? Three greatest Will Ferrell movies.
Okay. Anchorman. Well, Anchorman, and we'll just say you get all the sequel. So yeah, I would say Anchorman for
Anchorman
me.
Anchorman for sure
has absolutely got to be in there. For me, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, I stop and laugh at every single time.
Yeah.
So that has to be on there, and I'm gonna go kind of off the board for my third one, and I'm leaving, I'm leaving a lot of great, like Old School's great, Elf is great, but I'm going to go the first Lego movie. I loved the first Lego movie. So those are my three. How about
is
you?
Is that the one where he plays Batman? Oh, no,
no.
He's the grown-up. Yeah. For me, and maybe these are the obvious ones, but Anchorman is number one. If I could put Anchorman at number two, I would also put Anchorman at number two. It's, for me, one of the five funniest movies ever made. I'm going to put Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby at number two, and Old School at number three.
Are we making them
Elf and Step Brothers?
And we're leaving off Wedding Crashers. He only had a small part in that. But, yeah, Lindsay, what are your three?
I'm going to go with the obvious Step Brothers, Elf, and very underrated part in one of my favorite movies of all time, Austin Powers.
Oh yeah, that's a good movie. And also Mace, he was in Zoolander.
Still alive down here.
Yeah, he was in Zoolander with, you know, which was also an excellent movie.
Funch,
what are your three favorite Will Ferrell movies?
Old School, Step Brothers, and The Other Guys. Well, Marky Mark.
The Other Guys. Yeah, that's kind of one going
all right,
off the board.
There you go.
You ever watched it? It's just the funniest movie ever.
Yeah, I saw it actually at a drive-in, weirdly. The first time I'd been in a drive-in in years. It's a very funny movie. Very funny. Just not top three material for me.
Fudge.
That's Fast Track.
You can't go wrong. He is the funniest actor of his generation.
All right, Mace. The Professional Darts Corporation resumes competition this weekend.
Thank God.
And the field will be missing a former world champ. The PDC Home Tour will feature 32 consecutive nights of competition with players joining remotely from their homes. Two players have already been forced to withdraw because their home Wi-Fi connections aren't strong enough.
Hmm.
Gary Anderson, a two-time world champion, and Daryl Gurney, the current number six player in the world, announced the technical difficulties have forced them to bow out of the competition. Anderson said the internet at his house in southwestern England has always given him trouble. Here's my question. Most internet these days is affordable and fast. Why would anybody put up with bad internet? Am I wrong about this, or am I just being an internet snob? But shouldn't everybody have reliable internet at this point?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this is an issue of socioeconomics. Not everybody can afford having broadband internet. Not everybody.
But if you're a world dart champion, couldn't you presumably afford it?
I don't know what the world dart champion makes.
Big money.
I can't imagine the prize money is gigantic in darts. But we assume, and this is one of the things that, you know, is an untold part of this. There is a significant part of the population, even here in Los Angeles, that does not have access to broadband internet. And by the way, a lot of it is in underserved neighborhoods where they're not able to do school online because they don't have broadband internet. So we assume everybody has it, sort of like we presume everybody has cable or everybody has DirecTV or everybody has Netflix. Not everybody does. Not everybody is as lucky as we are. So, I feel badly for the world dart champion who can't afford...
And the current number six player in the world, they're both out.
They're both out. That's a shame that they don't have.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It really takes some of the shine off the event.
If this happens tonight at the draft, somebody could get screwed out of a draft pick.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, we are rolling on with Fast Track, and Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, according to reports, Andy Dalton has come to grips with the fact that he may be back in Cincinnati for the 2020 season, despite the fact that the Bengals are expected to draft his replacement, Joe Burrow, in less than an hour. Now, the Bengals have been trying to trade Dalton since last season's trading deadline. Said Dalton, "I truly believe they want what's best for me, but I understand it's a business, and you know how that goes." with the first pick, if they take a quarterback like everyone expects, they could trigger something. There's even a scenario where I go back there. Now, the Bengals' second-year head coach, Zach Taylor, hasn't ruled out keeping Dalton on the roster for the upcoming season. Said Taylor, everything's on the table, and that's the truth. Bringing Dalton back is something to consider. Is Andy Dalton a sucker if he goes back to Cincy to back up Joe Burrow?
No. Andy Dalton should make this decision strictly based on finances. Think about it. If he leaves Mace, he's not guaranteed a starting job anywhere else. The best chance for him to start may very well be in Cincinnati. Even some of the great quarterbacks of all time have started the season on the bench because they don't want to. You know, the Rams did this with Jared Goff. Remember, Jeff Fisher would not put him in.
Yep.
And it happens all the time. You've got some young hotshot coming up down the pike, and a lot of people say, matter of fact, this happened in Cincinnati with Carson Palmer. Didn't John Kitna start Carson's rookie year, and then he groomed Carson to take over? So I don't think it's crazy for Andy Dalton to stay in Cincinnati. Do you?
No, I don't either. I mean, let's be honest. Andy Dalton is not a top flight starting quarterback in the NFL anymore. He feels like a nice backup at this point in his career. So yeah, I can see them keeping Andy Dalton, playing him 6-8 games, and then bringing on Joe Burrow. It's probably a development year for Cincinnati anyway, so I don't think it's crazy that he would stay in Cincinnati.
And more to, you know, the more I think about this, it's an interesting question in 2020, because now more and more guys are being given the keys. Like last year, Kyler Murray, there was never a doubt he was going to start week one in Arizona. I'm pretty sure Deshaun Watson started from the get-go. Guys like Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, you know, have been. So now it's more common to throw somebody in. But for every story like that, there is a Jared Goff story where, hey, when he's ready, he'll play. And I can see that happening with Joe Burrow. The NFL, you know, you don't want to wreck his confidence right out of the gate. If Andy Dalton is still on the roster, I could see Dalton starting for Zach Taylor for 4 or 5 weeks, and then Burrow coming in.
Yep.
And if he starts, okay. So here's the best example of this. And Funch, this deals directly with your question. The Kansas City Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes to be their quarterback 3 years ago. But Alex Smith played so well as the starter. And matter of fact, Mace, remember the first game was at New England and the Chiefs blew out the Patriots in Massachusetts. The Chiefs played great. And Patrick Mahomes couldn't get Alex Smith off the field. I mean, he Alex Smith had like an MVP caliber year. Dalton could always do that. And then Burrow just sits 1 year behind him. Andy Dalton gets the Bengals into the playoffs. And then he markets himself for a contract after this season. So I wouldn't hate that idea if I was Dalton.
No, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. And frankly, he's going to sign somewhere as a backup. I think he has a better chance of starting in Cincinnati than he does anywhere else.
Completely agree.
But if he's going to be a backup, shouldn't he be a backup somewhere else?
Well, but you don't know he's going to be a backup in Cincinnati just because of all those things I talked about. There, when you get a and Mason brought up earlier in the show that Joe Burrow only had really one great year in college and only 2 years as the starter at LSU. It's not like he's, you know, coming off of a 4-year career like Vince Young or Matt Leinart or one of those dudes. It's, you know, Burrow is an unproven commodity, so they may take their time with him.
Fast track. Lindsay.
All right, guys. So I have like a little quick little draft, NFL draft knowledge quiz for you guys.
Okay,
so
good.
All three of you guys can play. Funch, you can play. Steve, you can play. John, you can play.
Of course, all right.
And I'm going to ask all of you guys a question, and you'll take turns giving me the answers, and then
so
pick
it's,
from
it, do
choice.
We take turns, or is your name your buzzer?
Take turns.
Okay.
I'll give you guys multiple choice. All right. So the first one is: from which college team was the very first number one draft pick selected? Is it A, Nebraska, B, Indiana University, or C, University of Chicago? We could start with John.
C, University of Chicago.
Okay. Mace?
Nebraska.
Okay, Funch?
Nebraska.
Funch and Mace, you guys are both wrong. John is correct. It was the University of Chicago.
University of Chicago. John's up 1-0.
All right, next one. Which two teams have had more number one picks than any other team? Is it A, Arizona Cardinals and Detroit Lions, B, Indianapolis Colts and Los Angeles Rams, or C, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Buffalo Bills? Mace, we'll start with you.
Tampa Bay and Buffalo.
Okay, Funch.
What was the first one? Detroit and who?
Cardinals and Lions.
Yeah, Arizona and Detroit. Yeah.
Lindsay, did you say one of those was one of those choices involved the Colts?
Yes.
Which one? Was that B?
B. Indianapolis Colts and Los Angeles Rams.
I'll take B.
And you are correct.
Oh.
Two for two.
John's two for two. All right. A couple more here. Of the first 10 NFL drafts, 1936 through 1946, how many of the number one picks were also Heisman Award winners? A, 3, B, 2, or C, 4? We'll start with, we're back to Funch. Funch is first.
4.
Okay.
I'm going to go 4.
Mason's going 4. I'll go, Lindsay, I'll go 2.
And John, you are incorrect. And Mason and Funch are right. It is 4.
Okay, 2-1.
2-1.
All right. We'll do two more of these. Who was the number one pick of the 1998 draft? Is it A, Ryan Leaf, B, Peyton Manning, or C, Orlando Pace? Start with you, John.
Peyton Manning.
Okay. Mace?
98. I will say it is Orlando Pace.
Okay. Funch?
Peyton Manning.
And you are correct, and so is John. It was Peyton Manning. So John's got 3, Funch has 2, Mace has 1.
And this one just happens to be worth 3.
Just happens to be. All right. This one's kind of tough, so hopefully you guys can get this.
Yep.
In what year was quarterback Jamarcus Russell taken by the Raiders, which had the number one pick?
Ooh.
Is it A, 2008, B, 2007, or C, 2006? We'll start with you, Mace.
No, I think I have to go first because I have the most. I have the most. Give me the choices again, Lindsay.
2007, 2006, or 2008.
God, it could be any of those. I'll go A, 2007.
Okay.
Punch.
I'll say 06.
Okay, and Mace.
And I'll go 07 for the win.
No, you can't go for I because I said 07.
Oh, so 6, 7, 8. I'll go 8.
So it would be 8. And you win. It was 2008.
2008.
Congratulations.
What a fantastic pick that was for the Raiders.
That is the cautionary tale and then some.
Yep. All right, more Fast Track is coming up next for you, Mason, in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it's me. An executive order that came out last week was signed that paves the way for a new space race where agencies stake claim to space objects brimming with minerable resources like oxygen and metals. NASA currently plans to land people on the moon again in 2024. The bill claims that Americans should have the right to commercial exploration. Robotic landers will first touch down on the lunar surface ahead of the manned mission in 2024. John, does spending trillions of dollars to go to the moon seem necessary right now, since we have created a mountain of debt to stimulate the economy in the coronavirus crisis?
No, it seems stupid, but you're never gonna. This has always been something that fascinates the world. Is going to space. Like, if you announced today, Mace, that you had a rocket going to space and you had 20 seats available on it, you would fill the 20 seats with rich guys, you know, probably within a week. Space fascinates people. I don't know why. So I'm a You know, I'm a supply and demand guy. I think the market needs to, you know, determine itself. And so I can't denounce it. Somebody, you know, everybody's always trying to get to space, and there's not a lot we can do about it.
Yeah, I think it should be entirely a private enterprise. I don't think NASA should be doing it. I think Elon Musk should be doing it.
Didn't
and
he
Jeff
at
Bezos
one point
should be doing it?
Yeah, didn't Elon Musk at one point say he was going to do a space mission?
He did at one point, and he sent rockets. He sent lots of satellites up there. But going to the moon, I don't know, feels a little bit like been there, done that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and not in a while, though. When's the last time somebody set foot on the moon?
Funny you should say that. John, I've got a NASA trivia game right now.
Okay.
Question number one. You guys can all play. When was the last time a person walked on the moon? Was it 69, 75, or 72, Ireland?
I'm trying to think. I don't think Armstrong was the first and last, and he was in 60. I'll say 75.
75. Lindsay?
72.
72. Funch?
75.
Correct answer. Lindsay gets it. Last time we were on the moon was 1972. Number two, how many women have walked on the moon? Is it A, none, B, one, or C, two? Lindsay?
None.
None. Funch?
None.
None. Ireland?
None.
Yep, you're correct. But they have promised that there will be a woman that walks on the moon in this 2024 flight. Number three, in what year was the first space shuttle flight? Was it 79, 81, or 87? 79, 81, or 87? Funch?
79.
79. Ireland?
79.
79. Lindsay?
81.
81 is the correct answer. First time the space shuttle flew. Lindsay's got a 3-1 advantage over everybody.
The space shuttle and then going to the moon. Don't you fly to the moon on a space shuttle?
No,
yeah,
you
don't
do not
set foot on it.
No, the space shuttle just travels around the Earth. It doesn't actually go to the moon.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
What is the average temperature on Mars? We always talk about going to Mars. What is the average temperature on Mars? Is it 110 degrees, 160 degrees, or minus 80 degrees? 110, 160, or minus 80? Ireland, it's back to you.
Average? I literally never thought about this ever. Average temperature on Mars. So give me the choices one more time.
110 degrees, 160 degrees, or minus 80 degrees.
Oh, jeez. I'll say minus 80.
Minus 80, says Ireland. Lindsay?
I agree. I remember people saying it's really cold there.
Minus 80. Funch?
Minus 80.
Minus 80 is correct. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do when we get there. Freeze our asses off,
right.
I guess.
I was going to say, it's like going to a football game in Green Bay.
And the last one, and this one is worth 3, which is enough to win. How many Earths could fit inside the sun? How many Earths could fit inside the sun? Is it A, 200, B, 500,000, C, 1 million? How many Earths could fit inside the sun? 200, 500,000, or 1 million?
Lindsay has to go first.
Lindsay goes first.
That's quite a discrepancy in choices there.
That is
I'm going to say 200.
200 Earths inside the sun. Funch?
500,000.
500,000, Ireland.
And then I will take 1 million.
And 1 million is the correct answer, yes. 1 million Earths fit
they
inside
left me the,
sun. The
only winning choice.
Ireland for
one
the
million.
Win. Funch?
Fast track.
Okay, Mace, Adam Tichorne is the deputy fashion editor for the Los Angeles Times. Last Friday, he wrote this in his column. Quote, I've waited, watched, and bit my tongue during the last month of the pandemic-induced work-from-home era, and I just can't take it anymore. Please, can we all put away the sweatpants, the ratty gray, decade-old collegiate sweatshirts and obscure minor league baseball caps, and start our workdays looking like we deserve the paychecks we're lucky enough to be earning while the world around us burns? Especially for the love of all that's holy if it's a group video conference involved. End quote. This makes no sense to me. Maybe the only perk we get from this quarantine is that we don't have to get dressed up. Why does this guy care how people dress during a shelter-at-home order? But as you have said, You're dressing better during the show because it gets you focused.
Yes.
Do you think this writer actually feels this way, or is he just trying to push people's buttons?
No, I think he's actually probably feeling this way. You know who's a big proponent of this is Bill Maher. He thinks we've all gotten too casual wearing sweatpants and slippers.
Screw you, Bill Maher. Day 47 in a row were for sweatpants for
walking me. Walking around in Crocs and all kinds of garbage.
Crocs? You know, I'm in socks. I don't even go to the Crocs. Socks.
I find that I'm not dressed well, but I do put on a pair of jeans with a belt, and I do put on a clean hoodie every day, and I do wear shoes. It just helps me get focused for the show, makes me feel like I'm going to work. But I think this guy probably is a fashion editor. He doesn't want to see everybody dressed like a slob.
Wait a minute. Who was it that wrote this again, John?
Adam Tichorne, the deputy fashion editor at the Los Angeles Times.
Okay.
You sent this to me. Like a week ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wanted to do a little backstory on this, or I guess some after story. This was like a big thing on Twitter that people were talking about. Like, I even tweeted, like, this is a terrible take. And people dug up, I guess, pictures that this guy had, like, on his various social media profiles. And he's got all kinds of pictures where he's dressed in, like, Disney t-shirts and
really
like cheesy sweatshirts. Oh yeah, if you look it up, like there's a bunch of people that are like, okay, because the name of the story is enough with the WFH work from home sweatpants, dress like the adult you're getting paid to be. And he dresses like in very child, I guess,
like not like a deputy fashion,
so he's not
editor.
Practicing what he's preaching.
Correct, exactly.
Well, then that's garbage. He's lost the right to criticize everybody else if he's dressed like a slob.
Totally agree.
Adam Tichorne. But he does have a really good article about the top 10 edibles in Los Angeles right now. So I'm going to bookmark that right now. All right. More Fast Track coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is rolling on with Fast Track.
Yep. Mace, first of all, Lindsay, did I bet that a lot of players will be wearing ties?
Yes, you bet the over on that.
Yeah, I'm going to lose that bet. ESPN's been dropping in on these dudes. None of them are wearing ties. And the other thing is, did anybody take the bet about 9.5 people, more or less?
No, we didn't. We laid off that.
Yeah, now the more is going to win.
Oh, is it really?
Chase Young has like 8 people running around. Derek Brown has everybody at his house is wearing a mask.
I figured that there's nobody's in a tie that would break it, but not something I want to bet on only because it's shady.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Mace. Sorry.
Fast Track.
All right. So I have a proposition for you. We both have seniors for parents. My mom has made it clear, by the way, she's 77, and not stepdad Leo is 80. We have not had any symptoms of the coronavirus.
Right.
That doesn't mean we haven't had the coronavirus.
Right.
So I am wondering if it makes sense for us to go and have the antibody test, because then we would be allowed to go see our parents and it would break up the weekends a little bit. What do you think of that as a proposition, to go get the pinprick antibody test and find out if we've already had it and might be able to go see our folks?
Okay. It's interesting you should bring this up. Lisa decided to do it. My wife decided to do it 3 days ago. She did it on Monday. She got her results yesterday. They were negative, so she does not have the antibodies. When she decided to do it, I read up on it, and the problem is that it's not a, like, there's disagreement over what a positive or negative test means. Like, because Lisa tested negative, according to what I read, it doesn't necessarily mean that she never had COVID. You know what I'm saying?
She or doesn't she have the antibodies?
She does not.
That means she could still get COVID.
But she does it answer the question as to whether or not she's already had it?
No, because she doesn't have the antibodies, so she hasn't had it.
Right.
But well, if I have had it, then I could go see my mom.
But the thing to look for, the thing to look for is if you currently have the antibodies, because the thought is if you currently have the antibodies, then you had it and you cannot infect anybody else because your body is currently immune to it. But they are saying that there is a chance, they don't know enough yet because they haven't, this hasn't been a thing long enough to know if she could have had it in maybe early January and the antibodies have worn off by now because she had a very mild case of it.
I don't know if it gives you the 100% clearance that you're looking for.
But I think if you get it, if you take the test and it says you have the antibodies, then I think that that would give you the clearance for the time being. That's what I would say.
For the time being, to go visit my folks and to go visit Juan's folks.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it either. Yeah, because then you could also turn around and go donate plasma.
Then I could donate plasma.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you can help people.
Right.
Yeah, I think we need to get more answers on it. I'd be willing to do it. I have no, I'd be happy to pay for the test and go get it done. And
yeah, if somebody can tell me how to do it, email me venicemace@gmail.com.
Text Lisa. She just did it.
Oh, she just did it. Okay, yeah, I definitely will.
There's a few places that are doing it now that are charging like $100 to $125 for it, but a lot of them aren't the FDA. There's only like one FDA-approved test. So a lot of like these private practices don't even have the FDA-approved one, and they're supposed to be making the FDA-approved one available like widespread over the next couple of weeks. So unless you want to pay like $100, I would probably just wait until it's available to the public.
Until it's widely available.
Yeah, I think Lisa paid $90, and she went to one of those private places, but I don't know. I'd have to ask her.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do that. I would love to be able to do that because the weekends are long. Weekends are long. It would break it up to go see my folks or my mom and stepdad, Leo, who, by the way, is apparently 79 now. I'm getting text messages, and my mom is 77.
Literally, Leo is offended that you missed his age by 1 year.
I will say he is in his 80th year. How about that?
Yeah, Leo. Cut us a little slack.
I also heard that your mom is actually 67, even though she only looks like she's like 57 or 47. So.
No, she really is 77. She does she looks 75, but she is 77. All right.
Trying to give her a compliment here.
Fast track.
All right, Mace, I got a game. Funch, I need you to put 60 seconds on the clock. We've been playing a lot of games around here lately. So, in honor of that, I have a list of 23 famous TV game shows. 22 is our all-time record in the birthday game. I'll describe the game show. You just need to give me the title. Now, I think you're going to know all these, but let's see how many we can get. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, Lindsay, you keep track of how many we come up with, okay?
Yep.
It'll start with my first clue. Okay, Mace, Howie Mandel and a bunch of models with suitcases.
That's Deal or No Deal.
Alex Trebek hosts this.
Jeopardy.
Drew Carey hosts this. Bob Barker did for a long time.
It's Price is Right. Price is Right.
Okay, I give you a word to try and get you to say another word. Black.
Password.
Good. Pat Sajak, Vanna White.
Wheel of Fortune.
Okay, this is a game where we try and determine people's occupations by asking them questions.
What's my line?
Good. This is a game that where if you've just been married, you go on this game as a
couple. Newlywed game.
All right, Chuck Barris had this game with Gene.
Gong
the
Show.
Good. Kelly Clarkson came out of this. Carrie Underwood came out of it.
American Idol.
Okay, this is two single people go on it, and you pick one of three people to go out with.
A dating game.
Okay, this is Monty Hall hosted this. Wayne Brady does now. Pass. Let's go tic-tac-toe game with Paul Lynde in the center square.
That's Hollywood Squares.
All right, Lindsay, 11. How are you?
Only what was 11. I missing?
Let's make a deal
Let's
or the dating
make a
game.
Deal.
Let's make a deal. Okay, is you missed that? Boy, we didn't do very well there.
No,
plus
that
the
was
clues
good
are a lot longer too.
Yeah,
yeah, the clues are a little bit longer. Yeah,
yeah, so it makes it harder. Well, you know, we could do. I have probably 12 more. Should I do the ones I didn't do with Sliwa when he comes on? Oh, no,
yeah,
we're not doing Sliwa.
We're going to go into the draft tonight.
Yeah, so we'll save it for a different day.
Save it for a different night because we're going to be going into the NFL draft, which is coming up for you in about 10 minutes, and we've got complete draft coverage for you. We will bring you every draft pick as it comes down. We will bring you a Mel Kiper analysis after every draft pick.
Wow,
and we will also,
like a real show.
Like a real show, and we will also keep track of our mock drafts. I've got mine, and I've got Ireland's. We will see who is doing well and who has completely botched it. I've got money on Ireland. winning this little game.
Yeah, because I put no time into it.
Yes, and
you
I
put
worked
a lot of
really
time into
it.
You normally crash and burn.
Correct, correct. I don't do anything the easy way. All right, so coming up next is the NFL Draft. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.